I think I've shared this with y'all before, but my dad, his career, he was a truck driver. And throughout his career, he spent thousands of hours on the road. He drove over 2 million miles in a big rig and was never in an accident. And when I got to college and beyond, whenever I talked to my dad about the fact that I was going on a road trip, that I was going anywhere, he would immediately start this briefing, and he would start to tell me and ask questions about the trip. He was obsessed with Atlanta. When will you be going through Atlanta? What time of day? You got to watch out for traffic in Atlanta. If you're going west of Asheville on Interstate 40, watch out for rock slides. If you're on your way to the beach, make sure you go the speed limit through those small towns, because you know they're just speed traps and they're ready to give you a speeding ticket. Be careful between mile markers 20 and 35 on Interstate 385. That's a very dangerous stretch of highway. He would give me this briefing. He knew the roads and the routes and the potential pitfalls like the back of his hand. He was like a human Waze app 20 years ago. And you know what I would do to get ready for the road trip? I wouldn't check the fluids in my vehicle. I wouldn't check the tire pressure. I made sure that I had enough sunflower seeds and gummy bears to make it to the end. And I also made sure that I had all my CDs, and especially if it was a long road trip, the mixed tape that would get me from beginning to end. And in some ways, Psalm 121 is the best of both of those things. It's instructions, it's information about a trip from God, and it's also the right song for the journey. You remember, Psalms 120 through 134 are psalms of ascent. They were songs that God's people would sing as they made their way to Jerusalem to worship God at one of the three appointed feasts for the Israelites throughout the year. So these were the specific songs that they sang. Psalm 130 that we looked at a couple weeks ago was one of these psalms. Psalm 121 that we're looking at today is one of these songs that they would sing on their way to worship God. Same as next week, we'll be looking at Psalm 133. They were pilgrim songs. They were the songs that God's people would sing as they made their way to Jerusalem to worship God. They were God's playlist for His people as they made their way through this world. Now, you may not think of your life in this way, but one of the things the Bible says about us is that we're sojourners, that we're pilgrims, that we're travelers through this world. Psalm 121 helped them back thousands of years ago, but it can also be a very helpful song for us to remember, to get stuck in our heads as we walk through the joys and the difficulties of life in this world. And there are a couple of things that Psalm 121 teaches us that I want us to dive into. The first is that the Lord is our helper. The second is that the Lord is our keeper. So let's think about the fact that the Lord is our helper. And to say that, we have to be honest about this fact. For most of us in this room, it's hard for us to ask for help. It's difficult for us to ask for help, to admit that we need help. And ironically, Christians should be the people in the world who are most ready, most equipped to ask others for help. Why is that? Well, it's simply this. Our lives are built on, we rest in the fact that Jesus Christ is our only hope. We rest in His gospel and His grace, but it's still hard for us to admit that we need help. So Psalm 121 is a reminder for us that we need help. Yes, we need help from others, but ultimately, we need help from God. We need help from the Lord. He's the only one that can give us the strength and the help that we need. And there are a couple of things that we see from the first part of Psalm 121. It's the first thing is that inspiration reminds us that the Lord is our helper. Inspiration reminds us that the Lord is our helper. I will lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? This summer, my family and I had a wonderful opportunity to spend a week of vacation in Boone, North Carolina. If you've ever been to Boone, you know that's a pretty special place. We ate food, we rode bikes, we hiked, we rafted. Do you know what the best part of the trip was? The back porch. The back porch of the mountain home where we stayed faced the west, and we could see part of the Smoky Mountains. And every night and every morning we sat and watched the glory of God. And you'd wake up in the morning and look out, and the fog that was settling in the hollows looked like mountain lakes across the way. And at night, as the sun went down behind the mountains, the sky lit up in orange and red. And one night in particular, something I'd never seen before, the sun went down behind the mountains and darkness set in. And then after about 15 or 20 minutes at 9:30 at night, it got light again. And the sun was shining from behind the mountains up to the clouds, and it reflected down to where we were. This world is filled with wonder and glory and majesty. There are things like fabulous mountains, or the bluest water you've ever seen, or the moon eclipsing the sun, or a humpback whale, or a seahorse that's 1 centimeter big. All those things point to the glory and majesty and wonder of God. And one of the things that we see from Psalm 121, this inspiration shows us that the Lord is our helper. All of those things that are incredible and amazing and wonderful in life, they point us to something else, someone else, the creator and sustainer of the heavens and the earth. We shouldn't worship and serve the gift. We should worship and serve the giver. We look at the things that are great and wonderful and mind-blowing in this world, and they should point us to God. And you know that there are a lot of people in this world that worship nature. Folks that are blown away by the things that they see, and they worship experiences implicitly or explicitly. And you know, they're on to something. They just haven't gone far enough. This world is incredible, and it's amazing, and it's unbelievable. And it points us to the reality that the Lord is our helper. So you picture these pilgrims in ancient Israel. They looked up to the mountains, and then they looked past the mountains. I lift my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? It comes from the Lord. If we focus on and settle for the awesome things in this world only, we'd kind of be like the people that were obsessed with an 80s cover band who gave up tickets to Chicago or Journey and backstage passes because they wanted to listen to their cover band more. You miss the reality if you only get stuck with the things right in front of you. What are the things that the experiences and the places and the views and the realities that make your heart soar as a person? They're different for each one of us. What are the things that blow your mind? They should all teach you and show you that the Lord is your helper. That God is enthroned in heaven. That He's the one that we need help from. Inspiration reminds us that we need God's help. But also, intimidation reminds us that the Lord is our helper. Not just inspiration, but intimidation. While we look at the idea, we think of the idea of looking at the hills and the wonder and the glory of God, you know, this psalm might have had a little different application to those folks thousands of years ago. As they made their way to Jerusalem from Jericho, for instance, all they could see were hills and mountains. As they made their way up to Jerusalem, they couldn't see very far ahead of them. The roads were narrow and dangerous. They could slip and fall. There were plenty of crags in the rock where animals or robbers could hide out and take advantage of these pilgrims on their way to worshiping God. Think about the journey that they were on, and that it may take days to get there, and how hard that journey might be for a mother with an 8-month-old child, or a family with a bunch of kids, or a father who's bringing his ailing parents along on this journey. I lift up my eyes to the hills. How are we going to do this? This is going to be scary and intimidating and difficult. Where will we camp? Will we have enough food? Will we have enough water for the journey? What if something goes wrong? We have so much further to go, and the children have already started asking, are we there yet? Intimidation reminds us that the Lord is our helper. And so even in the face of challenging things, overwhelming things, scary, intimidating, impossible hills and mountains, we can look to the hills and be reminded, where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord. What are the things in your life that you're scared about, that are overwhelming and intimidating? What are the things in your life that put a pit in your stomach? Maybe the future, maybe the next steps, maybe what's going to happen with your children, your health, your finances, relationships. There are all sorts of intimidating things in this world. And when we see them and face them, we can say with the psalmist, I lift up my eyes to the hills. I see the things that are overwhelming and almost impossible to me. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord. Same is true for us. Our help comes from God. Whether things are great or things are difficult, our help comes from Him. Second thing we see from Psalm 121 is that the Lord is our keeper. And before we see that, there is one more thing about the Lord being our helper that I'd like for us to see. It's that we lean on the Lord. If you've been here very much over the last 8 months, you've heard Woody and myself talk about this word that we find in the Bible. Verse 2, my help comes from the Lord. And when you see Lord in the Bible, in the Old Testament especially, all caps, it's God's covenant name. It's Yahweh. The Lord God of heaven and earth. It's His personal promise-filled, loving name that He revealed to Moses at the burning bush. This reminds us that our help isn't from a few friends. Our help isn't from a big corporation or the government or a wealthy uncle. Our help comes from the Lord. It comes from Him. The Lord who rescued His people from Egypt. Our help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Our help comes from the Lord, the God-man who became a man, born in a manger, lived a perfect life, died a sacrificial death for folks just like us. We have access. We have help. We have freedom. This is one of the beauties and glories of Christianity. So we can come to God, the maker of heaven and earth, and He helps His children. So whether you're scared at the prospects of the rest of today, even, or things are going wonderful or great in your life, we need this reminder: the Lord is our helper. So next, what's the second thing that we see from this passage? The Lord is our keeper. We keep things that are important to us, right? Keep that. Hold on to it. We put important documents in the lockbox at the bank. We hold on to photographs. We have a special file for the critical paperwork in our homes. When we were younger, we might have gone to a dear friend and said, hey, hold on to this for a while for safekeeping. We keep the things that are precious and important to us. Have you ever thought about the fact that God keeps His children? That God keeps us who rest and rely on Jesus Christ. Why? Because we're precious to Him. Because we're important to the Lord. You can hear echoes of it from John chapter 10. Jesus said, I'm the good shepherd. I know my own know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me. I give them eternal life and they will never perish. And no one can take them out of my hand. No one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. God keeps his children. And we celebrate this in the benediction. You remember, the Lord bless you and keep you. This is something that we rejoice in. It's great news. We need and we want God's blessing. And we need his keeping. He keeps his children. So what does this mean? What does it not mean, the Lord is our keeper? I think we can begin by identifying a few things that this does not mean. It doesn't mean that nothing bad will happen to you. I think I said that right. It does not mean that nothing bad will happen to you. God helps us and keeps us. It doesn't mean there won't be challenging and hard and difficult times in your life. Some people could read Psalm 121 and say, well, I guess this means that everything's going to be awesome for God's children all the time. They'll never go through hard times or difficulties. And there are plenty of voices who claim to be Christian voices who say that the main goal of life is to get really rich and never to be sick. And that's not the message of Christianity, and it's not the message of Psalm 121. The Lord keeping us does not mean that we won't go through hard times. We will. And sometimes through the difficulties that we face, through the dark valleys, those are the places where we see and know and understand that God is real and powerful and bigger than we ever dreamed or imagined. It also does not mean that you can just put your life and heart on cruise control. If the Lord's my keeper, well, I'm set. You know, I'm just going to sit back and everything's going to work out. Think about these pilgrims. They're singing songs as they make their way to Jerusalem to worship God. As they've made sacrifices of time and resources, they're acting and living by faith in going to worship God. Being kept by God doesn't mean we get a free pass. It means we actively live by faith. It gives us the freedom to follow him, to pursue him, to worship him, to obey him. We're called to seek the Lord with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We're kept by God, and that gives us the privilege to pursue God in our lives. It also doesn't mean that you have to earn your keep, the other end of the spectrum. A lot of people think that salvation's by grace, and we're accepted by God because of what he's done. But in order to stay a Christian, you have to be a pretty good person. The rest is kind of up to us. You have to earn your keep. And that's totally opposite the message of Christianity. Salvation is by grace through faith in Christ from beginning to end. It's all of grace. We need God to help us and to keep us and to save us, and understanding that and coming to terms with it and give us freedom to live in line with the gospel of Christ. So what does it mean that the Lord keeps us? Well, the first thing is that the Lord keeps us past, present, and future. That's one of the things we see from Psalm 121. He has kept us. He is keeping us. He will keep us. You're here. God's been with you in the past. That's no small thing. He's carried you through. God has carried you through days that you thought you couldn't make it through. Yet, you're here by his grace. And he is carrying you by his mercy. He is keeping you. Verse 5, the Lord is your keeper now and into the present. He's with you now and he will be with you the rest of today and tomorrow and the weeks and months ahead. And this touches on one of our biggest fears. What about the future? What's going to happen tomorrow? What's going to happen next in my life? The Lord is our keeper. Past, present, and future. Psalm 121 also shows us in verses 3 and 4 that the Lord keeps us and he's not asleep at the wheel. God is in control. We are finite creatures. We're made of the dust. We need sleep. And no matter how much coffee or energy drinks we have, we still need sleep. For these pilgrims on the way to Jerusalem, imagine them camping out along the way. And maybe mom and dad or the leader of the group feeling like they have to sleep with one eye open to make sure everyone's safe. Here's the reality. When we sleep, we are absolutely vulnerable. When we sleep, we lose what little sense of control we think we have. And that, the reality from Psalm 121 is that the Lord doesn't sleep or slumber. He doesn't fall asleep at the wheel. He doesn't lose track of what's going on. He's not snoozing or napping when you need help. Through the best times and the worst times in our lives, God is with us. God is in control. He's ruling and reigning, and He's working to direct and keep and guard His children. He's in control. And this is such an important lesson for us to learn. Why? Because we think it all depends on us. We think that we have to control what's going on. And through our influence and work and planning and phone calls and text messages, we have to control the outcome of life. Psalm 121 is a simple reminder that we can't. We're not God. We're not in control. God is in control. He's not asleep at the wheel. He's keeping us. He knows us. And learning that and believing it the rest of our lives will give us freedom as we live in this world. The Lord is keeping us. He's not asleep at the wheel. He's in control. The Lord keeps us. He's our source of safety and rest. Verses 5 through 6 talk about this. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. There are a lot of things in South Louisiana we may not know about, but one of them we do know is that the sun can do bad things to people. And I think for the past couple weeks, the heat index has been between 105 and 110. Think about these weary pilgrims. Tired, thirsty, hot, and the shade of a rock or a tree that they can hide behind and find safety and rest. God is the source of our safety and rest. We need to rest and rely on Him. He's the one that we can run to for protection, for renewal, for rest and security. One of the other images we've talked about this summer is that we can find refuge under His wings. This is one of the themes of God's Word, that we can find safety and protection with God, in God. It's easy for us to lean on and look to other things for safety and satisfaction. I'm safe because I have enough money in the bank. I'm safe because I have enough things. I'm safe and secure because of my wit and charm and my family name or my skills in business or my social standing. We can rely on other things, inappropriate, sinful substances or things to make us feel okay in this world. And the reality is that we learn from Psalm 121 is that the Lord is our keeper. The Lord is the one who offers us safety and rest. He's the only one that can ultimately do that. And the last thing we see about the Lord being our keeper is He watches over our lives and our souls. Not only is He in control and He's our source of safety and rest, but the Lord keeps us. He watches over our lives and our souls. And there's this progression in Psalm 121 that's beautiful. It starts out, you know, Him looking to the hills and where does my help come from? And then talks about God not sleeping. He won't allow your foot to slip. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord will guard you from evil. He will watch your life, verses 7 and 8. He'll watch your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forever. And this is the basic reality. He watches over our lives and our souls. We're kept by God. This is one of the liberating realities of trusting in God. Our lives are in His hands. Do you know that? Our lives are in God's hands. We belong to God through creation and redemption. He made us and He bought us back. And some people think of this as stifling or oppressing, but it's really one of the most liberating ideas in the world, that I don't have to control everything. I don't have to be in charge. My life belongs to God, and so does yours. The creator of the universe is our helper. The maker of heaven and earth is our keeper. He will do this from now and into eternity. He's watching every step of our lives. You remember the first question from the Heidelberg Catechism? What is your only comfort in life and in death? That I am not my own, but belong body and soul in life and death to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. He has fully paid for all my sins with His precious blood and has set me free from the tyranny of the devil, and He watches over me in such a way that not a hair can fall from my head without the will of my Father in heaven. In fact, all things must work together for my salvation because I belong to Him. Christ, by His Holy Spirit, assures me of eternal life and makes me wholeheartedly willing and ready from now on to live for Him. Our lives belong to God. That's one of the main messages of Psalm 121. They're in His hands. He's our Master and He's our Lord. You remember those briefings that my dad would give me about my road trips? Why do you think he did it? And why did I listen? Well, for a couple of reasons. I listened because he knew what he was talking about. He'd been there. He'd done that. He had literally street cred. And I knew that he knew what he was talking about. But why did he tell me? It's because he loves me. It's because he loves me. I was the precious cargo. He didn't want to make sure that the freight made it from point A to point B. No, he wanted to make sure that I was safe, that I was okay, that I arrived in the right way and at the right time. He told me those things because he wanted the son that he loved to be okay. God knows what he's doing. He created the heavens and the earth. He's our helper. He's our keeper. We can trust him and follow him. And you know what else? God loves us. He helps us. We're precious to Him. We're kept by Him. In fact, God loves us so much. What greater pledge of the love of God for us than that He would give His one and only Son as a sacrifice for our sins? And the Bible says it explicitly. After Jesus came and laid down His life for us, it says it in Romans 8, if He didn't spare His own Son, how will He not also with Him freely give us all things? So I guess the question to close is, where does your help come from? Where does your help come from? Through the good and the bad in life, is your life and soul anchored to God through Jesus Christ? He's the only one who can help us and keep us now and into eternity. Let's pray.